I couldn't think of a title for the sermon this week. I saw a sign at a church. These little signs are out on churches and message boards are pretty interesting. It said on it, sign broken, message inside. So I kind of thought about that a little bit. This week our country celebrated its freedom from Great Britain. Our forefathers came here to have religious freedom. Freedom from taxation, freedom from being ruled by Great Britain. We as believers have a greater celebration of freedom. And this morning I'd like to think about that. I would like us to consider Hebrews chapter 10, 19 through 25. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the matter of some, but exhorting one another, and for so much more as we see the day approaching. We pray. Father, we just pray for guidance and wisdom and words from you today. Open our hearts and our ears, our minds to have what you have for us. We thank you for the many blessings you've given us, the freedom that we have, only because of the work that was done on the cross by our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Be with us today and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Most of us do not have any access to the president of our country. Probably because he doesn't know us, we don't know him, and we probably have a lot of security to go through. We'd have to be checked out whether we're good enough to even talk to him. Be a lot of details about that. But we don't find that with God our Father. This morning we sat at the table to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for us, that we could be free from the punishment of our sins. Sometimes I feel that we rush through this time in our service, as it should be a time of soul searching of where we really are. Is there a need to confess? Is there a need to make things right? But it also is a time to be thankful that Jesus paid the price for our sin in full. And we can be thankful that our sins are washed away because of the work that is done on the cross. And it's because of that work that was done on the cross that we have access directly to God. The God of this universe. It's interesting, before Jesus died, and in the Levitical, or the Old Testament times, no one had access to God but the high priest. And he could only go into the holiest of holies, one time holiest of the holy part of the tabernacle, once a year. He actually had a rope tied around his ankle or somewhere, just in case something happened to him in there, that he could be pulled out of there because no one was allowed into there. Today, as New Testament believers, we can directly talk to God and we can commune with him. We can have boldness coming to him knowing that our sins have been forgiven and that our standing with God is made right. In verse 22, it tells us, because of Jesus' finished work on the cross, we can draw near to him with a true heart in full assurance of our faith, because our hearts have been washed by the blood of Jesus. The priest of the old times, before he could enter the tabernacle or the holy part of the temple, he had to wash himself too, but it was washed with water. We have been made clean by the blood of the cross, blood of Jesus. And we have to have that in order to come into the presence and be able to commune with God. God cannot look on sin, so something had to take place in our life to make things right with him. We're told in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins to God, he is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's a lot of promises that God has made in his word that gives us the ability to be able to have a relationship with him today. Maybe there's many times we take it for granted that God loves us and has forgiven us and we can do what we want and it'll be okay. But God is still a God of order, and God is still a God that doesn't deal with sin very well. We can't make excuses for it. Something has to be done for it and about it if we're going to have a relationship with him. In verse 23, it tells us to hold fast to our confession of faith. This would give us the idea that we are to be faithful. We're not to be wavering. Something we struggle with, isn't it? To be faithful at all times, not just when somebody's looking. It's not always easy when you're the only one around and something happens to have thoughts that we shouldn't have. What does being faithful really mean? When we first became a Christian, we were not only saved from the wrath to come, but we were saved for a change of lifestyle. You don't hear that very often. All you hear is, well, you just need to become a Christian. It's interesting how many young Christians, well, what do I do with it? It's a wonderful thing to lead people to the Lord, share the gospel with them, but you can't just leave them there. They have to grow. Somewhere along the line, they need to be introduced to Scripture and read the Scriptures, be encouraged to read the Scriptures for themselves, to see what God has to say about our lives. Because once we become a Christian, we give our lives to Jesus, he's supposed to be in control, not us. And that's not that easy. It's not something that we naturally just grow up knowing. Yeah, somebody else can control my life. No, it's rather we want to control our own life, isn't it? But in order for us to really have blessing and enjoy life and what God has for us, he has to be in control. our change of lifestyle, we should, it would affect our desire to do good works for the kingdom of heaven. And our eyes should become focused on heavenly things and not the world around us. It's interesting to me how easily we get distracted. Maybe you don't think about things the way that we should. In preparing for this message the last 2 weeks, I've had a lot of things go on. I own a company and run a company, and a lot of things didn't pan out according to plans. It's pretty tough the last 2 weeks, but God got me through that. But it was hard at night sometimes to come home and focus on what the message would be today. It's too wore out, exhausted. But our focus needs to be on heavenly things. So we're reminded that God is faithful always, not just part of the time, but always. We're the ones that become unfaithful, but God is always faithful. And we need to be faithful to ourselves and willing to do our part. You might ask, well, what is our part? Well, I can't answer for you. But my part is that I feel that the Lord is, since I've been through so much, the Lord has given me the ability to reach out to hurting people. And I know what it is to hurt. I know what it is to suffer. And I'm not talking persecution, but I'm talking about suffer because of wrong choices I made in my life. And because of those things many years ago, God has allowed me to be able to use that to reach young men that I work with to try to save them and help them to come to know the Lord. Living as we should and sharing Jesus with the world around us is pretty important. I know it's been said before, but maybe you're the only Bible the guy next door might read. Maybe you're the only door that person needs, or the only light that person needs to be able to come to know Jesus. And if we don't take that opportunity, that person may never get that opportunity again. You see, it isn't about a lifestyle. Christian life isn't about ourselves. It's about reaching out to others. No matter how God has called you to do, each one of us, I really believe each one of us have an opportunity somewhere along in our life to do that. Whether we do it by our lifestyle or our mouth. We find in this chapter 2 that as believers, members of the body, here, that we are to consider one another. Well, you might say, why? Because we are to observe and encourage each other, stir up in each other for good works. Good works do not occur just on their own. We need the encouragement of our brothers and sisters. I still need today, and I've many times throughout my life, I've needed the encouragement of a dear brother that's a good friend of mine. I could call him on the phone and talk with him about things that bother me. We need each other. We can't do it on our own. I think it's interesting that Satan works very hard on people to isolate you and make you feel that you're alone and you're the only one that has problems, so you won't talk to others. But when we feel like that, that's probably when we need somebody the most to talk to and share. And maybe that person pray with us, and maybe that person help us. I'm pretty sure that each one of us go through some kind of troubles. If anybody here has got it made to the top and everything just runs smooth and no troubles, raise your hand. Well, you have the witness here. You should be able to talk to anybody here because we all suffer, don't we? Some kind of problem. Maybe that person doesn't need to know all our life's history, but maybe enough to share with that we can encourage and help someone out. This can have a great impact on our walk with the Lord of sharing encouragement. Let's read in Romans chapter 12, just a couple verses there. Romans chapter 12, I'll read 9 through 18. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another. With brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. We can see here that we are to work together, help each other, rejoice with those that rejoice, and yes, we're to weep with those that are weeping. The older I have gotten, the more I realize how important it is in this walk with the Lord that I need encouragement to go on and be faithful to the end. You know, when you're young, you think you got the world by the tail. You can handle every little problem that comes along and it'll all be fine. You don't think, like, well, you get a little bit older. I'm sure some of you that's older than me by a couple years could probably really expound on that a lot more. But I'm finding more and more that the world really doesn't have any good advice to offer me in my walk here and on my trip to heaven. But you dear ones here have what I need to encourage me to be faithful to the end, and that we should each one think about others, encouraging them to be faithful to the end. Yes, we really do need each other. We're a part of a body, a church family. Sometimes we need reproof. Sometimes we need lifted up. And sometimes we need to be reminded what we are in Christ and what we have in Christ. And we need to remind each other too that we have been freed from our sin. It says we are to exhort one another. What does exhort mean? I thought, well, that's kind of an interesting word. You don't hear very many people talk about that. So here's what Webster Dictionary had to say about exhort. It says it means to urge earnestly to be faithful. Urge earnestly. That's pretty interesting. It's not just talking about, I'll just give you a little nudge. Come on, get down the road. Let's get going. No, it means to earnestly urge. And sometimes we need that, don't we? Exhort does not have the idea that we're only to think of ourselves. We are to do this more earnestly as we see the coming of the Lord fast approaching. Some think that life in this world is going to go on forever and ever and ever, and there isn't anything to it. Once we die, maybe we'll, more than likely, we'll probably go to heaven. We hope so. Some people do. But the Lord tells us that one of these days, a trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to be gone, those that believe. And we're much closer to that time today than when this letter in Hebrews was written. It was about not quite 2,000 years ago that it was written. 1,800 years ago? I don't know for sure. Long time anyway. And these people, when this was written, they thought the Lord was going to come back then. It'd be pretty easy to think, well, he's not coming now. It's been this long. But you know what? The hope of his return is what keeps me going every day. Should keep each one of us going until that happens. Sometimes it's easy to forget what living a Christian life is all about and where we'll end up in eternity. So we need each other. We need to encourage one another. And trying to tie this all together in coming to a close, we need to thank God for the standing we have through the work Jesus has done for us. Without that work, there'd be no hope for us. There would be no point for us to even be here at church today. It'd be a waste of our time if a Savior hadn't died for us. And we're encouraged to be faithful to the end. And we need to encourage one another to be faithful to the end. And we also need to let God have complete control of our lives. That's not very easy sometimes. Sometimes we think we've got it all figured out. But you know, God can see the beginning to the end. And if we can learn to totally trust him for it all, he only wants the best for us. And that's hard to get a hold of sometimes, but he knows exactly what we need. He knows exactly what it'll take to get us to the end. And we also can learn today that we need to have a true heart, a pure conscience. Not just on the outside, but on the inside. We also see here that we need to encourage one another. We don't need to go through life alone. And we need to pray for one another. And we need to hold fast to the truth and not give it up, no matter what the cost is. God's word must always be our guideline, no matter what man says. So as the worship team comes forward today, come to the time of decision, maybe you're here and realize that your sins have not been forgiven and you need to surrender your life to God. Here you come forward. Jason will come forward and Jason will be up in front to meet you. Or maybe you need to join a body of believers to serve the Lord. Or maybe you just need prayer. Whatever it may be, you come now If you feel the Spirit drawing you to do something today, don't put it off. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Make things right as soon as you can.